become a patron of Entertainment Landfill. Go to patreon.com/landfill for details. Entertainment Landfill is made possible by contributions from listeners like you. Thank you. You're listening to Entertainment Landfill. Film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it. This is the J-Strom. Welcome to the show. It is now time for ETL Daily, Episode 6. I start out high, kind of even out there at the end. How's it going, everybody? It's time for ETL Daily, Episode 6, as I just said a second ago. So I just made that kind of redundant. Why am I saying it more than once? I'm going to say it one more time. This is ETL Daily, Episode 6. How's it going, everyone? Welcome to the show. Well, this is the show where we talk about film, television, pop culture, and other stuff. Anything we can think of, we just rap about stuff. This is kind of the companion podcast to ET Landfill, the regular show. And I hope you guys are enjoying it. If you'd like to leave some voicemail or email or any kind of feedback, go to nimpodcast@gmail.com. There you can send a sound file or some text of some kind. Also, you can send us a voicemail if you call this number, 1-206-309-4729. In fact, it's time for me to re-up on the voicemail. Let's see if I can find this real quick. All right, I'm dialing right now. All right, here we go. Come on, pick up.
Entertainment Landfill voicemail. If you'd like to have this played on the show, just speak your thoughts and tell us what you think about stuff. Thank you again for supporting Entertainment
Landfill.
We appreciate it. And hey, give us that message now. Woo! Wait for the beep. Woo-hoo! I got nothing.
Hi, man. What's up? Man, I really like your podcast. It's pretty cool. I like when you guys talk about different stuff and stuff, but I hate when you guys bring up that liberal agenda. Yeah, I just don't know you liking that. I'm pretty patriotic, and I like guns, and I don't want people coming in my country and stealing my tax dollars and my job, and I don't like you guys talking about stuff like that. Oh, wait, that was my voicemail for a different podcast. Oh, yeah, you guys talk about entertainment and shit. Yeah. I just want to say that Gotham show, man, when the hell's Batman showing up? I hate that shit. I'm still waiting for Batman. I figured, man, we got to wait for season 2 Batman show up. Maybe just take some kind of growth hormone or something. I don't know. Shit. Bing. Yeah, but anyway, I'm about to head out and pick up a pack of cigs and a freaking twack. You know what I'm saying? You know what a twack is? That's a 12 pack. A burr, son. That's right. Ding, 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 ding. Yeah, well, anyway, I gotta go soon. First, I want to talk about, man, I can't wait for the new season of that one show. Shit, what's it called? Damn it. I hate one eye. I'm losing my memory and shit. I've been hit on the head way too many times, if you know what I'm saying. Have you been hit on the head before? Man, it hurts. And then, man, sometimes you stare off into the distance, and you just don't know what you're doing. Someone goes, hey, man, you got that stupid look on your face. What you doing? You're like, I ain't doing nothing. I'm just sitting here. Ding, 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 ding. Well, anyway, man, I'm running out of dip, so I'll be taking off soon. Well, you know, man, you keep listening to your show. Man, I listen to it on my CB radio. Got a cool podcast app on my CB. Man, when I'm trucking with my monkey here, that's right, I got a monkey. His name is Bear. Well, I'll check you guys later.
If you are satisfied with your message, press 1. To re-record, press 2. To review your messages, press 3. To enter your K7.
You know what? I'm pretty happy with that.
Goodbye.
All right. Well, I'm pretty happy with that. I'm pretty pleased with that voicemail. That's you could leave a voicemail like that, or hopefully something better than that. But anyway, hey guys, I'm here to talk about news and entertainment like I have been doing, and I've had a lot of fun doing it. And like the other shows, I have a special guest. Actually, he's not even a guest. He's a co-host, and his name is Mulberry Bill, and he will be joining me shortly, as far as I know. So we'll see what's up with that. You know what I'm saying? That's what I thought. No, I don't know what I'm doing here, guys. I don't know what I'm doing. All right. Well, the first thing I want to talk about before Bill gets here, and then I'll talk about it with him, is that I've talked a lot about Amazon in the last episode, but this time I'm going to talk about Amazon again, but about something different. They have released a bunch of Amazon pilots that they want you to review and see if you want to turn it into a series. They've done this many times, or at least twice or three times. I can't remember. I don't know why I'm saying many. They've done it for the last couple of years. And I enjoy viewing them and then reviewing them. If you have an Amazon account, most people do now, I think. If you don't, it's really easy. You don't have to buy anything. You just sign up to Amazon and you can watch these shows for free. Hell, I don't even know if you have to sign in to do it. I've looked it over each one. The Man in the High Castle by Frank Spotsnitz. It's kind of a World War II, like, what if the Nazis had won kind of thing. It sounds kind of interesting. I might check it out. One's called The New Yorker Presents. It's a docu-series based around New Yorker magazine with stories and cartoons from that. Sounds pretty cool. Like, if you're really into culture, man, you might check that out. Another one is called Salem Rogers. It's by a guy who worked with the Onion News Network. And it's about a toxic supermodel driven out of rehab. And it's a comedy, so I don't think it's meant to be really sad. Okay, Cocked, C-O-C-K-E-D, is by the creator of Lie to Me. And it's got Brian Dennehy, Jason Lee, and Sam Trammell. He was Sam from True Blood. They're a family that owns a gun company. I may check that one out. The one that when you see it on paper, Randall Wallace, the guy who wrote Braveheart, and Carlton Cuse, the guy who wrote for Lost, created a show called Point of Honor. It's North versus South, Yankee brother-in-law versus Dixie brother-in-law. And it's like people working on a plantation. Dude, I don't know about that. Another one is Mad Dogs, and it's based on a UK series of the same name. I don't know about that either. Then Down Dog has to do with making fun of yoga in Southern California and surfer dudes. The only one that sounds interesting to me is the Nazi one called The Man in the High Castle. I may check that one out. But I'm curious, you guys watch them too and see what you think. The only one of these I ever saw and I was like, dude, I would watch this series right now, was Bosch, starring Titus Welliver, where he plays the cop Bosch based on the series of books by Michael Connelly. He's written a bunch of Harry Bosch books, so they've got a lot of stuff to do a TV show on. He's also the guy who created the Lincoln Lawyer. He writes books based on that guy. So the guy's prolific of those characters. So if you're a fan of those, you might want to check it out. And by the way, oh my God, this just now appeared when I searched for Harry Bosch. Check this out. On the heels of the success of its original comedy, Transparent, winner of 2 Golden Globes on Sunday, Amazon has slated the premiere of its first original drama series, Bosch, the 10-episode adaptation of Michael Connelly's best-selling Harry Bosch book series, will debut February 13th on Prime Instant Video in the U.S., and here is a trailer. All right, I gotta check out this trailer.
Every murder is the tale of a city. I don't believe there's a better world than this one.
This is the police.
And if this is the only one we got, how about I buy you a drink?
Call me.
I know that look.
Yeah, if anyone would.
It feels like we're putting band-aids on bullet holes.
Hands up!
There's another body.
If I don't take you, you'll never know.
Well, I want you in charge of this field trip.
What went wrong
out
there?
Holy shit.
Everything.
Let me go!
need an airship now!
You break the rules, disobey orders.
I think I'm coming apart.
Focus, detective. Your future is on the line.
Sometimes it feels I was born with two faces. Got a feeling that I can't let go.
Is it true your mom was a prostitute and somebody killed her?
Detective, weren't you avenging your mother's death?
You got a lot of
question is that?
Do you know about the thin line of madness?
Do you have any idea what kind of position you put this department in?
Lance Reddick, hell yeah.
This is a child's bone, detective. No doubt about it.
I believe you find the justice you can in this life, not the next one.
I'm Detective Bosch, LAPD Hollywood Division. This is the work I do.
Bosch. This is cool. Just watching this, I've seen two people from The Wire. Marlowe and Daniels from The Wire are in this, so that's pretty cool. You've also got Herschel from The Walking Dead. You've got Renee from 24. And you've got Titus Welliver, who's always awesome. I'm pretty excited about this shit, watching the trailer. You guys know what I'm going to have to do, don't you? I'm going to have to get friggin' Amazon Prime. Damn it. Or I'm going to have to do one of those. It doesn't say if they're going to do all the episodes at once kind of thing. The series was developed for television by Eric Overmyer. And he's one of David Simon's guys on The Wire. So that's pretty exciting. So that'll be cool to check out. That makes me more excited than any of the new stupid pilots. None of those descriptions sound interesting to me at all. So let's see what else happened. Okay, I want to talk about this. Chuck alum. Now, you guys know how much I love Chuck, right? Chuck alum Zachary Levi to star in Heroes Reborn. Now, I don't think Zachary Levi's been in a series since Chuck. He's done, you know, he was in Thor and he's done some different things. He did a Broadway play, probably musical, and he's done a few things here and there, but now he's going to be on Heroes Reborn. Zachary Levi has signed on to star in Heroes Reborn, a relaunch of the original superhero drama, which ran from 2006 to 2010. Now, is it really a superhero drama? Was anybody on that show a superhero? The 13-episode event series will feature a brand new story, though Jack Coleman, who we all know as HRG, is slated to reprise his role as Noah Bennett. We're still keeping Zach's role under wraps because everything is shrouded in mystery for the miniseries, but we're very excited he's been cast, said NBC boss Bob Greenblatt. Levi added, "One of my first and fondest memories of joining NBC in 2007 was having the pleasure of getting to know Tim Kring and the cast of Heroes. I was a fan of their collective work." You know what he wants to say, until season 2, 3, 4, 5, and whatever. "And I always thought it was such a fantastic and fun world they got to play in. With Heroes Reborn, I'm honored to have the opportunity to bring more of that world to life and excited to help in offering the fans of the franchise an epic new installation of a series that made such huge impact on entertainment." Levi's casting marks a return for the actor to NBC after on Chuck. So, okay, I feel two ways about this. First of all, Zachary Levi is awesome. I think he's a great actor, and he's a great physical actor, too. He did a lot of physical comedy that was fantastic in Chuck. He's a good actor. And you guys know how, if you're a new listener, you don't know how I felt about Heroes, but if you listen to our old shows, of old episodes of Nora Mulberry, you know that we started out season one loving Heroes. We love the way they kind of stole the idea from Lost of the kind of revealing very little and leading into kind of this mythological storytelling with all sorts of secrets and one at a time unveiling, revealing secrets. They even did it better than Lost, honestly, the way they revealed answers to things, until they kind of lost their way after season one. They no longer followed that kind of thing. They had like Hiro Nakamura, and they had an immortal guy, and it just became a friggin' mess, and the show never righted itself. It became a disaster. It was the kind of thing where they should have fired the show creator, Tim Kring, and led to something else. Now, what they have for Heroes Reborn, I don't know. I'm glad to see Zachary Levi in something else, and I hope he's good in it. I just hope it doesn't suck. Seriously, if Tim Crane, his show got canceled, and NBC is letting him come back with something new. Some people are, you know, everybody who liked the show is going to be like, well, yeah, it was good at first, but then it started to suck. Which version are we going to get? It can't suck right from the beginning, or nobody's going to watch the show after episode one or two. Well, obviously, we've got Oscar news, but I think I'll wait for Bill to get here for us to play that. I think Bill and I talked about this on the Star Wars show, where we talked about the teaser, but you'll most likely see a new Star Wars The Force Awakens trailer on the Avengers 2, which is pretty freaking cool. Can you imagine going to see the new Avengers, which, by the way, had a new trailer this week, which, you know, I'm already sold on the film. I'm going to go see it anyway, but it looks pretty badass. I can't wait to see Iron Man in his Hulkbuster armor fighting the Hulk. That's going to be friggin' wicked bonzical, yo. But Slash Film originally ran a rumor in December that nailed the Force Awakens trailer to Age of Ultron. Like I said below, it makes a lot of sense, especially if Latino Review is right and the trailer will show us Han, Luke, and Leia for the first time. So good scooping, everybody. So this is Quint on Ain't It Cool News. The Latino Review boys are at it again, this time with a source saying that we're getting a new Episode 7 trailer attached to the Avengers Age of Ultron coming May 1st. Their source claims that this trailer will indeed feature our first glimpses at old friends Han, Luke, Leia, and even Chewie. I don't know their source, so I can't vouch for the validity, but I can say that even if this is just an educated guess, it feels right on the money. Star Wars Celebration begins on April 15th in Anaheim, and you better believe I'll be there with bells on. And they're almost certainly going to give us a first look at the OT cast, if not parade them out on stage, to go ape shit over. That's his words, guys. Australia and New Zealand would get this new trailer on the 23rd and 24th, according to Latino Review, which is only a week later, and a week after that is the U.S. release of Ultron. The timing works out, and putting on the corporate money grubber hat, it's also perfect branding. I bet it's going to be the new normal to see Star Wars trailers on summer Marvel movies or Marvel trailers on holiday Star Wars movies. It's quite brilliant when you think about it. They're creating the perfect nerd storm, one massively loved franchise constantly feeding off the energy of the other. Wow. A nerd storm. There's going to be a nerd storm. Remember that movie, The Perfect Storm, where Christopher McDonald goes, "The Perfect Storm," while looking at the monitor of the two things? I'm just looking at this story and going, "The Perfect Nerd Storm." It's going to be crazy, like geeks flying around everywhere, everyone drowning in geek sauce. I got nothing. Where am I going with this? Here's some shocking news, everybody. I'm sorry to burst your bubbles because I know everyone is looking forward to this movie. Tom Hardy out as Rick Flagg in Suicide Squad. Looking at a certain Nightcrawler to replace him. Now you may think, oh my God, they're talking friggin' Alan Cumming? No, 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 no. They're talking about Jake Gyllenhaal. Tom Hardy was one of the mega wattage names announced to be part of David Ayer's Suicide Squad. But it looks like Alejandro Gonzalez Inarritu's The Revenant has gone long and will keep Hardy from participating. That has left the door open for one of Ayer's former collaborators to hop on board, Jake friggin' Gyllenhaal. That's right. Gyllenhaal doesn't have the tough guy street cred of Hardy, even if he did bulk up for End of Watch. Oh, shut up. I don't even care. Stop reading this, Jason. Okay, here's some other... Finally, I will tell you about this story, and I almost feel like we're just all being teased, and I almost don't want to read it, but I've got to acknowledge it. And here it is. Until the real announcement happens with confirmation, this is all just lame hearsay. Is Spidey finally swinging into the Marvel Universe? Only Squirts Quinn here. That's the Ain't It Cool News guy. Latina Review has a bunch of stuff hitting today. The biggest of which is this fat, juicy rumor where Dave claims to... Who the hell's Dave? He has an inside track on a possible deal between Sony and Marvel to share Spider-Man. In the story, Dave does spoil that he believes to be the ending to multiple upcoming Marvel films. If you don't care about reading the speculations, which could very well ruin the finales of these big geek... I'm not going to read these friggin' spoilers. Whatever. Kiss my ass, dude. So anyway, I don't even need to read that to tell you guys that there's been rumors that Spider-Man's going to be in the Marvel Universe movies. I keep reading stories about it like it's a done deal, but no one comes out and says, yes, it's a done deal. I have a feeling if we're ever going to know this, it's going to be the first people who see the end credits of the Avengers is going to have Spider-Man in it. They want to let people know in a cool Easter egg kind of way. Maybe it'll be clues in New York where you'll see webbing and some people will notice it and go, hey, look, and post it on Twitter and they go, holy crap, what does this mean? And they're not even going to announce it. They're going to let us friggin' have a geek storm first. Nerd storm, I'm sorry. I don't want to mess up that cool name right away, but there you go. That's how I feel about that. If it is true, it'll be awesome, but they're not going to let us know for a while. Let's see if I can get Bill on the line soon. Oh, he's not up yet, so I'm going to talk about one more story. First of all, I'm sick and tired. I'm going to rant about this shit. I'm so sick of friggin' when Walking Dead returns, it's going to be more intense than ever. Kiss my ass. It is not in more intense than ever. It's always the same. They live in a world where dead walk. It's friggin' zombies. It's always the same amount of intenseness. Intensity. Intense cities. And they always have to go, oh, no one's safe and all that stuff. But or like Game of Thrones is doing it too, where they're like, you'll be shocked what happens in the next season. Yeah, we're shocked every season. I don't know why. I guess they have to sell it. I don't hold it against them, I guess. But I get tired of it. Just me bitching. Sorry, guys. I got a lot to learn about the way the world works. All right, check it. Think we have Bill on the line.
Now you have Bill on the line.
Yes, now I have... What the hell is with this effing box? The Skype box. Have you ever updated where it has to have this gigantic square yet?
No, I haven't updated it yet.
You can either have a giant square or take up the entire screen button.
Oh, so it's not that much different from the Mac version of it, but now I'm noticing you get an ad in the direct center of the screen no matter what if it's not video.
Yeah, and if I click on the chat part where I can talk to you, you know, text-wise, it's like even smaller box.
Oh, yeah.
Really sucks.
That's awesome. It's really nice.
Pretty
great
cool,
job,
huh?
Skype.
Yeah, good job, Skype. Well, hey, Bill. Welcome to the show. How's it going?
Excellent.
I haven't talked to you in a while, sir.
Yes.
Everything's going good with yous?
Everything's excellent. A big life change. Girlfriend moved to Ohio, and she's now sitting right beside me on the bed as I sit at the desk. But it's been pretty interesting the past couple weeks.
That's awesome. So everything's going good in Bill Land.
In Bill Land, yeah, Bill Land's fantastic.
Is that actually an amusement park in Ohio?
It should be. I think it might actually be. My basement is pretty amusing.
Well, Bill, we're here to talk about film, television, pop culture, as always. And by the way, this is an ETL Daily.
I was wondering what was going on.
Yes, this is an ETL Daily where we hit record and we go. That's what it is. We start talking.
Yes. I'm familiar with the new format of the ETL Daily.
What do you think of that new format?
I'm sorry, you caught me mid-sip. I think it's excellent. I like it. It's
really
fun. It's new. It's vibrant. It's good.
Cool. Awesome. It's a little weird talking by myself for a while. I just kind of try to just imagine people are listening, like the old-timey radio and the family sitting in the living room.
And I'm they're all huddled around the Philco, ready to listen to what the J-Strom has to say
listening
on the State
to me
of the Union.
Could Spider-Man possibly be in a Marvel movie? That's what they're listening to. Get out your secret decoder ring. Yeah, exactly.
That's right, kid. It's ready for a little Orphan Annie.
We need to have secret decoder rings, don't we? Here's the message.
I thought we had them already.
Yeah, the message translates to, I can hear Steven breathing. That's this week's secret message.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, that's it. I think.
And can you see Ralphie going, well, shit, tell me something I don't know. And he's just pissed after he's.
What's that gurgling sound? Oh, that's just Steven.
Fascinating.
Good old Steven. Steven's not with us this week. He's had to stay where he is, out of town. So that kind of sucks.
Oh, okay. We don't know the location. He bailed Natalie and I out on our way cross-country right after, I think it was the first week of January, we drove cross-country and called him. Where were we? You don't remember? Were we in Nebraska, Natalie?
I don't remember.
She doesn't. It's all a blur.
I think you were. I think I remember you telling me about that. That you were somewhere in Nebraska.
We were trying to spend as little money as possible, and I was like, you know what? Maybe Steven can help us out. You know, it's worth a shot. I'm not shy. I'll ask if he's got any.
If he's got the points, man.
Yeah, I know. I still feel a little strange, like being like a bum. Like, hey, man, can you give me a room, man? I want somewhere warm to sleep.
If he acts put out by it, you know, like, oh, man, then I'd be like, okay. But he acts cool about it, and he's like, it's no big deal, then trust it, you know?
Yeah, I asked him, I was like, do you have any of those Best Western reward points or something? Because that's what he put me up at when I was in Texas last time, and I thought maybe he had extras. Hey, Webster.
See, I think the main, you know, people can be very generous, but sometimes people can be generous in a way where they want to tell you how generous they're being or kind of like sigh about it. It's like, those are the people you're like, you know what, never mind, I'm sorry to bother you or whatever. But
Steven, yeah, that's definitely not Steven.
Yeah, Steven's not that way. He's a very cool dude and he's happy to help. And
yeah, he got us a great room somewhere, I think it was Sydney, Nebraska. Yeah, it was Sydney, Nebraska. And we were about halfway by then. It was a really long day. The first day we drove, I think we only drove about 6 or 7 hours, about 419 miles. And, that was because we spent, I think it was, the Friday after New Year's, Natalie was flying back that morning, dropped her off at the airport. And then I picked up a rental car and drove from my hometown to Cleveland, got a flight from Cleveland, flew to Charlotte, North Carolina, flew from Charlotte, North Carolina to Oakland, California, no, San Francisco Airport. Then she picked me up. We went back to her place, started packing. We got it finished that weekend, got on the road Monday.
Holy
or
shit.
Was it? Yes. Yeah, Monday morning. Sunday night, though, her friend got us a luxury hotel room in Cupertino.
Nice.
And when we checked in, we were like, do you have a soaking tub? And the guy was like, no, not in a standard room, but let's see if there's an upgrade available. So he put us in a grand suite, basically a honeymoon suite with one of those gigantic, like 4 or 5 foot deep soaking tubs.
Oh,
it was incredible.
I've never been in one of those before.
Dude, we actually could swim across one another, like play Marco Polo in the bathtub. It was amazing.
It's like in Francis's bathtub in Pee Wee's Big Adventure.
Yeah, it was. It was Francis's bathtub. Yeah. But yeah, it was a funny night because we ordered Thai food from the local place. We hadn't eaten all day. Sunday night after packing, we finally finished. Car was filled to the brim. She's the Tetris champion of packing cars, Natalie. And We got it all in there. We got to the hotel room. We were so hungry. We ordered some Thai food in, and we had this gigantic bubble bath, and we just ate Thai food in a massive Francis tub. You know, and
you ate in the tub?
Yeah, we ate in the mother effing tub. We were so ghetto. It was hilarious. It was. I mean, you got a tub like that, and you got Thai food takeout. You're like, Natalie goes, "We're eating in the tub."
That's
like,
crazy.
All right, yes. And then
you
didn't have any
water.
You could
drown in that tub, Bill.
What about the tub?
If you cramp up, you could die.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You would drown in that tub.
It's like a swimming pool, you know.
It was amazing, but I think we were okay. Then we got on the road and drove cross country. We got home Thursday afternoon here in Ohio, and it was beautiful trip through California, Nevada, Utah, but then you hit the Great Plains, and it's just like, wow, manifest destiny. We really, not only did we kill all the buffalo, we seem to have killed everything around here because there's nothing. It's just flat. In gray. Yeah, we're driving one night and there was a tumbleweed blew right across the road. We're like, tumbleweed! That was the excitement of the Great Plains.
Wow. Yeah. So there's just nothing there?
There's nothing there. It's pretty miserable.
Holy crap.
Yeah, but that's what we did, and she's been here for about a week now, and we really haven't settled in yet, but we're getting there, and it's been really wonderful.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Is it so just trying to get back into the regular swing of things?
Yeah, you know, it's difficult, especially now that I'm going back to school again, and I just started up this week with my classes, and I'm 13 credit hours, so I'm full time this time. I'm taking 5 classes.
Holy
and
shit.
Well, I'm just trying to get this shit done, you
When's
know?
When's the
it's
last
just,
time you've done that? Like gone to school full time?
Yeah, god, this The time was a couple of years ago, but I did it all online. This is the first time I've actually had to go somewhere and do it. But, yeah, I'm trying to find time. We haven't gotten to see any movies yet, but the Oscar screeners are now online. So we're trying to debate today, like, what should we pay for? What should we actually give our money?
Let's talk about that, the Oscar announcements. First of all, have you seen any of the Oscar-nominated films?
You know, I have to go down through the list because I don't think I have. I mean, other than, like, the animated films.
Yeah, let's do that real quick. Let me find the Oscar nomination. Let's see how many black people have been nominated this year. I'm always good at I like to see that. They have a lot of diversity in their nominations, Bill.
That's awful.
That's let's so see. Bad. Okay, first of all, the films. They still do this shit, and I know why they do it. They nominate a lot of films in the best film category because they want to kind of make sure everybody is getting a piece of the pie, and a lot of people are going to see these films, right?
Yeah, are they up to 10 nominations now for best film?
Let's see. Okay, American Sniper, which I haven't seen.
No.
I'm not going to say that with every film. I haven't seen any of these, just to... American Sniper, Birdman... Or The Unexpected Virtue of Ignorance, Boyhood, The Grand Budapest Hotel, which is on HBO now. I could probably watch it tonight if I wanted to.
Yeah, that's right. It's been around a while.
The Imitation Game, Selma, The Theory of Everything, and Whiplash. The one I'm most curious about is Whiplash. I've read a lot of people on Facebook and Twitter talk about this film, saying it's pretty incredible.
Yeah, I think it was... God, was it Wayne Kramer, the director? He made a post. He really loved Whiplash. Mm-hmm. And he made a post the other day that made me laugh out loud where he said, well, it looks like Whiplash directed itself.
Yeah, there's one of those every year.
Yeah, and it's, I guess, it's so funny how they rationalize, what do we give a Best Picture nomination, but who do we give a Best Director nomination? A lot of times they leave you scratching your head because there's no rhyme or reason to it.
Yeah, it is always confusing. Like, remember Argo won Best Picture, but Ben Affleck wasn't nominated for Best Director. Now, the directors, Alejandro G. Inarritu, I don't know how to say his name. He's the director of Birdman or The Unexpected Virtue of Ignorance. Come on, drop that. That's so annoying.
That makes it so much more important.
Richard Linklater.
You see that and you go, this has two titles. It's kind of like, you know.
It's some deep shit. I want to see, like, the new Batman movie have something like that. Batman. Or, you know, something like that.
Or the Joker's Manifest.
Destiny? I don't know.
His Manifest.
Richard Linklater for Boyhood. Bennett Miller for Foxcatcher. Which wasn't nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah, you know what? I think a lot of people have a huge problem with Foxcatcher because Dan Futterman, the guy that wrote it, which is shocking to me because I've only ever known him from sitcom roles. Like, I've never known him to be a writer. He just is in sitcoms. Like, he was in that Amy Brenneman Judging Amy sitcom. He was the loser brother in that.
Oh, yeah?
But I guess a lot of people are very upset because they put implied homosexuality into the screenplay. And everyone that was actually there at Foxcatcher Ranch and the brother that wasn't killed, and everyone was saying that there was never any sort of implied relationship or, you know.
Right.
It went on. So a lot of people are very upset with the screenplay, upset with the film, saying it misrepresented people. It made the guy, I think it was Mark Schultz, appear like he was kind of a loser and a loose cannon, and he was actually a very accomplished wrestler before he even entered Foxcatcher Ranch. So there's, I think they probably, the controversy led to it not getting a nomination
but
there.
But the director did. And the main thing I've heard is...
Sorry.
The main thing I've read is that... you know, again, I haven't seen the film, but I've read that it's a very flawed film, yet Steve Carell is pretty incredible in the film. Like one of those, he's become a different person type roles, you know, where you transform yourself.
I'm sorry, I'm still trying to get over the dog. The dog was right underneath the chair, and it got caught and went, did you hear that screaming?
Oh, I did hear that in the background. Okay, I had no idea. Yeah. I'm so used to baby making noises, I didn't think anything of it.
Yeah, I accidentally whirled over the dog. Yeah.
Oh,
so,
did you roll over his tail or ear or something?
No, it was his. I think it was his feet. It was August. He's a little multi-poo, and I think I might have caught one of his feet under the wheel or something. But
baby used to sit right next to my feet in this chair. You know, it's an office chair, and one time I backed up and I heard like that, and I ran over one of her ears.
Oh, maybe it was his ear. Maybe he was laying down or something, and he went. I didn't see what happened, but I just heard he was
poor girl.
He was not pleased.
At least I think it was her ear. That because her ears kind of draped down, you know, like
goddamn beagle ears.
Yeah. That's what I was like. That's got to be what I ran over. So also Morten Tildum for The Imitation Game, Wes Anderson for The Grand Budapest Hotel. Okay. Yeah, we haven't seen any of those films, but I want to make a prediction that I think that Boyhood is going to win Best Picture and Richard Linklater will win Best Director.
Yeah, I think that people are incredibly impressed that he even took the chance of making a film over 12 years.
Or they'll do something weird, like give it to like Wes Anderson just for the hell of it. It's so weird the way the awards are. I actually, you know, having not seen any films, at the same time, when I watched the announcements of them, you know, a lot of stuff has come out now that there's no black people. In fact, there's nobody of that except white people nominated. It's a bunch of white people, you know. Yeah. And I don't know, but I read this online where people were kind of laughing that Meryl Streep was nominated for Into the Woods because the movie's not that great, and it's almost like, throw Meryl Streep on there. What the hell kind of a thing?
Well, there's no one else to nominate, so we might as well nominate Meryl Streep.
We all know that Patricia Arquette's going to win for Boyhood, though.
Do you think she will?
Yeah. Okay, the supporting actor, listen to this, Robert Duvall for The Judge, Ethan Hawke, Boyhood, Edward Norton, Birdman, or The Unexpected Virtue of Ignorance. Mark Ruffalo for Foxcatcher, or J.K. Simmons.
Just J.K. Simmons will win an Oscar, finally.
That would be awesome, but also Robert Duvall. You know how sometimes they're like, I gotta give the old vet something, you know? It's pretty exciting.
Well, didn't he get an Oscar for The Great Santini, or no, Tender Mercies?
I don't know. It was
one of those, like, years and years ago, but The Judge is also one of those movies. I think it was Drew McWeeny's review that said this thing is so freaking saccharine that it's unwatchable.
The one that you were talking about, animated features, which is kind of sad because I've seen Big Hero 6 and I've seen How to Train Your Dragon 2. I haven't seen The Box Trolls. I haven't seen The Song of the Sea or The Tale of Princess Kaguya, but people were pretty pissed the Lego movie wasn't nominated.
I'm shocked that the Lego movie wasn't nominated because it was the best animated film last year. I mean, I enjoyed Big Hero 6, but I mean, it wasn't the best. And The Box Trolls, I haven't seen yet, but I love Laika. I think they're one of the best, you know, well, they're one of the only stop animation studios still operating.
There's actual real craft that goes. I mean, I'm not saying the other people don't have real craft, but it's amazing seeing what they do.
Yeah, well, it takes them 4 years to make a film by hand.
And yet the Lego movie was nominated for original song, which is weird.
It's like putting a Band-Aid on just a massive gaping wound. It makes zero sense. Which song did it get? Was it Everything is Awesome?
Yes, Everything is Awesome.
That's sort of awesome, actually. Yeah, it deserves to win.
And I've read different things about American Sniper. You know, I feel like such an asshole talking about these films and I haven't seen them. You know, I'm just saying, here's what other people said about them. But I don't know what else to do.
Well, it's really all you can do.
Yeah, American Sniper, I've heard that it's just not very good. Like, Bradley Cooper is fantastic in the film, but Clint Eastwood just kind of, I don't know.
I think it's more the subject matter that gets a little under my skin. I'm going to watch it and see how I feel about it, but everything that I've read, I've read excerpts of the chapters by that Chris Kyle, the book he wrote, the movie is based on him. And of course, he had a very tragic end. I wouldn't wish that on anyone. That was awful, the way that he was murdered. But in a way, trying to help other vets with post-traumatic stress disorder. But
right.
He just didn't seem like the most together guy.
Well, yeah, so I'm interested in his story. That's what I'm interested about in the movie. And I'm interested in, you know, because you can understand someone with the highest kills in U.S. history, a sniper in combat, and how that affects someone. And I'm also, I think Bradley Cooper's a great actor. I love watching him in things. But the main thing I've read is that Clint Eastwood kind of drops the ball in it. And that's the thing that I'm kind of interested in seeing it just to see how he drops the ball. You know what I mean?
Yeah, who are these people to say that Clint Eastwood's balls have been dropping?
I know, you know, like who's hasn't? You know what I'm saying?
He's getting up there in age. His balls are hanging a little low.
He dropped the balls a long time ago or something. I don't know. So that's all I have to say about the Oscars. But all we need to watch some shit, and then we'll talk more about them.
Yeah, I'm working on that.
Okay, out of the films nominated in order, I would like to see Whiplash. I would very much like to see Boyhood. And I'd like to see Birdman.
Well, Boyhood is now, I mean, it came out on Blu-ray this week or last week. So right. That should be on Amazon or on DirecTV On Demand or any number of those things now.
Video on the demand and stuff.
Demand on the videos.
Right. So I'd like to check that
out. I think I want to see The Theory of Everything. I've been trying to keep an eye out for a screener for that because I don't want to go to the theater to see it. But I do like Stephen Hawking a lot, and even if it is kind of a whitewashed version of his life, I still want to see it.
Weren't there two Stephen Hawking movies this year also?
Was there?
I thought there was.
Was this the year of Hawking?
I don't want to. I swear there was another Stephen Hawking movie, but I can't remember what it was, so I'll just drop it.
I'll have to look. You know, we do. That does tend to happen where one studio goes, well, let's start working on this film, and another studio starts working on the same thing at the same time.
I remember in the 80s, they had body switch movies in one year, like Vice Versa, and what was the Kurt Cameron one with Dudley Moore?
Oh, Dudley Moore. Was it Like Father, Like Son?
Yeah, Like Father, Like Son. And there was one other one. I can't remember. It was Judge Reinhold and
Fred Savage. That was Vice Versa.
Yeah, okay, that was Vice Versa. I swear there was one more. But they had body-switching movies. And then the other year they had underwater movies. They had The Abyss, Deep Star 6, and Leviathan. And we know which one of those was better. Of
Deep Star 6 was the best one in that group.
And remember they had Dante's Peak and Volcano come out.
That was gotta love a movie that it was the guy from the Drew Carey Show who gets his legs melted off through the subway.
He stands in it. He's so heroic and he melts. He sinks into the
Yes, and ironically, it ends with, or not very ironically, it ends with "I Love L.A." Randy Newman song.
Did you hear about the lady? She was trying to say "Dick Pope," and she said "Dick Poop."
Dick Poop. Yeah.
Did you see Conan's bit on that? Conan's bit on that was hilarious.
No, I didn't see that.
Oh, I got to play this for you real quick. It's hilarious. Okay, listen to this.
The Oscar nominations were announced this morning. Everything was going very smoothly until, and this is true, Academy President Cheryl Boone Isaacs mispronounced the name of cinematographer Dick Pope. It was kind of embarrassing. Check it out.
For achievement in cinematography, the nominees are Dick Poop, Dick Pope, or Mr. Turner.
Well, it's unfortunate. Yeah, we're all too mature to laugh at that. You're hearing laughter of compassion. But you know what's too bad? I think that flub she made really made her lose her composure because it all went rapidly downhill after that. Take a look. This is too bad.
For performance by an actor in a supporting role, the nominees are Robert DePoop in The Judge, Poop Hawk in Poop Hood, Mark Poopolo in Poop Catcher, Poop Poop Simmons in Poop Lash, Ed Poop Nort Poop in Bird Poop, or the unexpected Poop of Poop.
She said poop a lot.
Oh, I thought that was pretty funny. Poop.
Oh, like Bird Poop, or the unexpected Poop.
I'm a sucker for a good poop joke.
That's hilarious, man.
I love poop jokes.
Like, Bill, you're a fan of the TV show Hannibal, correct?
Oh, God, yeah, I love Hannibal.
Well, I've just gotten this breaking news, Bill, that Hannibal Season 3 is pushed to summertime. Fans of the broadcast of the most artful and gory crime drama will have to wait a little longer for Season 3. NBC is pushing Hannibal to the summer. The network's entertainment chairman, Robert Greenblatt, confirmed Friday. But it's funny, sometimes he's Robert Greenblatt in stories, and sometimes he's Bob Greenblatt. It's a show we love. It's critically acclaimed, and we love it.
I think it all depends on who's writing the story, if they're buddy-buddies with Bob or Robert.
Well,
you want to be formal if you don't know him.
This quote is so funny. It's a show we love. It's critically acclaimed, and we love it. And
we're going to shelve it in the summer.
Yeah, he goes, but we also love summer. We have exciting plans for summer. That's his quote.
F you, Bob. Really? That's awful.
Bob Greenblatt. And also I posted on, I was just talking about it and posted on Facebook that Bosch, starring Titus Welliver, finally has a release date.
We have been waiting for this for, 2 years now?
Yeah, or a year and a half.
Because that pilot, it just hooked us. I was like, okay, I want more Bosch now, please. I think it was the one show that Amazon produced that I was the most excited about. And, I mean, that year it was that awful Chris Carter thing that they actually greenlit for some bizarre reason.
The After, yeah.
And we haven't heard anything of that.
Well, no, it didn't. I just talked about this last week where they greenlit it for 13 episodes and a year passed, and then they announce it's being canceled, and they're not even making it, and they never made a single episode.
Well, thank God, because it was terrible.
Yeah.
It was just one of those things that started out promising, and then by the end of the episode, we were just kind of like, what the hell?
They added a supernatural element, and it's kind of like, what?
It was shoehorned.
Right.
It was like you went to try on a pair of shoes, and you were crammed into them.
And
it was
unprepared. And one of my things about Amazon is, like, we know that Netflix will shell out the cash for their shows. I mean, friggin' Marco Polo costs $90 million, and probably House of Cards costs the same thing. They shell out a shitload of money for these shows, and they look great. Now, when I saw that Amazon canceled the After, I wondered if, oh shit, this is going to cost too much money. You know, let's do a show that takes place in a house, you know, with like four characters or something. I was wondering how much money they actually want to spend on these shows. But then they announced, you know, now they've got a Woody Allen show. In fact, that'll probably be low budget now that I think about it.
That'll be single camera, all shot in New York. It'll use all Broadway actors.
All
just
the
like
music
Law and
will
Order.
What do they call it? Stock music that's free, like three penny opera or some shit. You know?
Sixpence None the Richer while we're on numbers.
And also, you know, everyone who works with Woody Allen, they're willing to take pay cuts because it's Woody F.N. Allen, right?
Well, absolutely. I mean, if I could work with Woody Allen for a pay cut, I'd do it. Because, so, you know, I'm a man in demand. I command a high six-figure, seven-figure salary.
Now, you have Amazon Prime, so do they post entire seasons of shows at once, or they do once a week or something?
No, it's all at once.
Like that show Transparent, did you watch any of that, or did
I have not
it?
But now that it's won the Golden Globe Awards for best show and for
best
Hank
comedy
from the Larry Sanders Show winning an Oscar. I don't care. I've seen Arrested Development a million times over, but he'll always be Hank to me. Hey, now.
Right. No, I was just laughing because what is the actor's name?
Jeffrey Tambor.
It's like, you know, the guy from, you know.
You know, that guy from that show that was on HBO.
Yeah, I'd be willing to watch that too. And another thing is, I was also talking about that Amazon today released a bunch of pilots again.
Oh, was that today?
Yeah. And
What do we got? I'm excited now.
I was reading about some of them, and I'm going to read them to you, okay?
What happened to that mediocre 80s based show that happened at, like, Caddyshack?
It's been greenlit, yes.
Okay.
This one sounds interesting. It's called The Man in the High Castle by creator Frank Spotnitz. It's it's a guy who worked on The X-Files. And it's an alt-history saga. It's adapted from a Philip K. Dick novel.
Ooh.
Where America lost World War II and the Axis powers won.
Oh, do you remember that HBO original movie, Motherland, where it was the same premise? It had Donald Sutherland in it?
No. Vaguely.
Yeah, I know. I love that premise. It's very similar to the wonderful Wolfenstein... the last Wolfenstein game, what was it called? The last Wolfenstein game. It was wonderful.
Yeah, so basically Hitler drops... they get the nuke first, and they drop it on Washington, D.C. And now, I guess it's American spies trying to fight back kind of thing. It sounds like a huge concept, and I want to see it just for production values, but Jeff Jensen says... if you're a fan of high concept dystopian fantasy done right and are at least agnostic about Nazi bad guys, this is for you. Directed by veteran helmer David Semel, the well-cast, well-acted, swell-looking pilot is by far the most polished of the group. It's engrossing despite its stately pace and a triumph of world-building. So that's pretty good praise there.
That's awesome, yeah.
There's another one called The New Yorker Presents, and it's like a docu-series based around The New Yorker.
So it's like The New Yorker's version of Vice.
Yeah, it's got like cartoons, fiction, poems, and shit like that.
So it's highbrow frontline.
Yeah, if you're all like cultured and shit, man, you'll dig that.
Man, I got a New Yorker subscription. I'm all up in this show's shit.
There's a show called Cocked, Bill. Cocked. Right. C-O-C-K-E-D. It stars Brian Dennehy, Jason Lee, and Sam Trammell.
Brian Dennehy's still alive?
Yes, he is. And
that's amazing.
It's about a family that run a gun business.
Oh.
And they have a rival gun business is run by Dennehy's brother. And it's an edgy contemporary dramedy. Yeah, I don't know. I'll check that one out. I'm curious about it. I think there's other ones like Salem Rogers, horrible title. It's by Will Graham of the Onion News Network and some girl who no one's ever heard of. It's about a supermodel out of rehab, and it's a comedy.
Okay. Well, I'll give that one a shot.
It is starring Leslie Bibb, though, and she's great.
Oh, yeah. I loved the show that she did on ABC. They got a shitload of controversy that Kristen Chenoweth was in. That the Dallas – it was all the housewives.
Oh, yes. Damn. What was that called?
I was really good.
Dallas Housewives or some shit like
no,
that.
No.
Dallas Wives of something, I don't know.
Yeah, it was really good. And I remember a lot of people being very pissed off with Kristen Chenoweth because she is involved in the whole evangelism sect, and they didn't like her being involved in a show that had gay characters and stuff like that, which is shocking to me because she works on Broadway. And that is nothing but gay characters.
Well, here's one that sounded neat when I read the creator's bill, but then when I read about the premise, I was like, I don't know. Okay, first of all, it's called Point of Honor, and it's created by Randall Wallace, who you know wrote Braveheart, and also Carlton Coos, who wrote Lost. One of the writers.
I think I'm going to bail on that one right now.
Damon Lindelof's partner on Lost. Okay, here is the... Well, that kind of sounds cool. Randall Wallace and Carlton Coos, we know they can write. You know?
I don't know, man. Randall Wallace is very inconsistent. I think Braveheart was probably his best work.
Braveheart and The Man in the Iron Mask. That was pretty good. I remember it being good, but I've only seen it like once.
Was that the one with Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
The Three Musketeers, and he directed that also, but...
Yeah, okay. You know what? We Were Soldiers was pretty good, too. And so I'm going to, all right, I'll take it back.
Okay, but first I'm going to read the premise to you. It's North versus South, Yankee brother-in-law versus...
I'm sorry, if it doesn't have Patrick Swayze in it, I'm not watching it.
versus Dixie brother-in-law, abolitionist versus states' rights firebrand in this costume drama set largely on a Virginia plantation at the dawn of the Civil War, where a trio of plucky and beautifully dressed belles try to preserve their well-heeled way of life in the face of social change and catastrophic violence and stuff, is what it says.
And stuff.
Yeah, Jeff Jensen's being silly there, but I don't know. What do you think?
I love period dramas. I'll watch it. I'll go for it.
And again, when I'm watching these, I'm going to see how much money they spent on there. I want to see them spending millions of dollars on these shows. I don't want them to look like shit because... I've watched some of their pilots, and it looks like they didn't spend much on them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I what is this? A Down Dog is another one here.
Yeah, that's like about yoga, Southern California, and surfer dudes.
A satirical look at LA's yoga culture. Yeah. I have no point of reference on that, so I might still have to watch it.
And this one called Mad Dogs with Steve Zahn, Romani Malco, Michael Imperioli, and Ben Chaplin. It's based on a UK series of the same name, following four former fraternity brothers who visit their old college buddy, played by Billy Zane, in Belize for a big reunion. Until their partying is interrupted by a murder and a gang comes after them.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of the recycled television shows. Do you remember, was it the early 90s that the British show Men Behaving Badly, they recycled for American audiences? And just,
yeah, I remember that.
I don't know, they never tend to work. I mean, that's a good cast, but I'll give it a chance. I just think that so often those shows are awful.
Yeah, I'll watch the pilot, but I don't know.
I mean, do we all need to be reminded of the IT Crowd, the American version of that, or the American version of Spaced?
Well, the American version of IT Crowd never came out.
Well, it's on YouTube.
Oh, it's
on YouTube. Oh, is that bad? Joel McHale in Chris O'Dowd's part is just painful.
What's weird is I remember it being greenlit and then canceled. Like they thought to, I guess they greenlit the pilot and then didn't pick it up. Is what it was.
Yeah, I think after they watched it, they went, "Oh, this was a terrible idea."
Well, out of all these shows, The Man in the High Castle, the Nazi one, sounds the most interesting to me.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for dystopian stuff. There was a game I was playing not long ago called Papers, Please, kind of that dystopian environment where you're a border guard and you have to decide who gets to go through and who doesn't, and then you get to see the ramifications
of
that.
Oh, I've heard of that. Interesting. Yeah. Sounds cool, because you really have to decide, you know.
Oh, yeah. You have, like, moral dilemmas. It's really incredible, because I've heard people talk about it for ages, and then I decided I would just sit down and play it. And before I knew it, I was like 4 hours later, and I felt like shit, because it basically takes every ounce of what scruples you actually have and makes you examine yourself while you're playing it. It makes you feel really awful. It's like I need a shower and to go to a psychiatrist immediately.
Okay, well, I'm excited about Bosch, we talked about earlier, and another trailer hit, Bill, and that is the trailer for Syfy's The Expanse, which is based on a set of books. I guess it's The Expanse series, but they have different names, and the first one was Leviathan's Wake, which you've read.
Yeah, you got me hooked on it. You started reading it, and I was like, dude, you got to check this out. The world is kind of incredible.
Yes,
so
I love the world.
I started reading it, and then I decided to get the audiobook, and the audiobook's great. It's one of those times where the author, or the not the author, but the narrator does it really, really well, and I got hooked on it, and I would listen to it, and then I would read it. Like, I would go back and forth, because audiobooks always just take excruciatingly too long.
Right,
just,
right.
I don't know what the pace that they choose on those things, but they can be terrible.
It's a pretty long book too, so I'm curious. I'm assuming the first season will be book one, or maybe the half of book one. I don't know.
A shit ton of stuff goes down in book one. I would say that book one itself could be split up into two seasons. I mean, right. If they really wanted to explore the characters and the motivations and the various things that go on in
that
universe.
The first season is 10 episodes. So maybe they'll do like 6 months, 10 episodes, another 6 months, 10 more episodes. You know, kind of like they did Defiance. Or is that a whole year that passed? It might have been a year, but 10 episodes
a year. I think it was a year.
But it's really cool because, I mean, I've read enough of it where I understand the way the universe works and all that. What's cool is we've mastered space travel, but only in our solar system.
Mm-hmm.
And we've colonized Mars and Saturn and even the moon, I assume, right?
Yeah.
And the asteroid belt. And there's people who live in the asteroid belt, and they're called belters. But there's all this tension between the different planets. Like, people who are now living on Mars or Saturn, they don't even like – they don't like each other, and they don't like people from Earth either, do they?
Well, yeah. Once we begin colonizing our solar system, you know, the distance that separates all of us, it's kind of a play on, you know, the different countries. And as people spend time there, and you kind of breed into that environment, and each person is different in their build and their, you know, physicality, and you know, so the belters are they have the higher gravity, and they are the guys that are known to be like the labor force of the galaxy.
They're,
and then
like
you have the Mars people.
Guys.
Yeah, the Mars people, there's less gravity, they're snootier, they're smarter, they're, you know, there's just, it's a play. There's a lot of political maneuvering going on in that world, and everybody's trying to blame There's one big event at the beginning of the book that kind of spurs on I guess you'd call it a solar civil war.
Right.
Kind of environment. But, yeah, I would think two seasons, possibly three. Three would be too many. They probably want to move it along. But I haven't read the next book yet. I don't know how many there are, but after the –
I think there's four, honestly.
Oh, wow.
Right now there's four.
And they're written by two people going under one name, right?
Right.
Jay, it's Corey or something. I'm not exactly sure.
It's by James A. Corey, which is actually the pen name of Daniel Abraham and Ty Frank, or Franck. I don't know how you say his name, but Ty Frank. But what I don't understand, I mean, if I was a writer who wrote books, it's just the way I am. I'd want my real name on the book. It's kind of weird that they created a different person to, you know what I mean?
I don't know how that works. You know, that's a relationship that that would take some time to understand. I don't know if they're lifelong friends or, you know, what that's going on there. It's just
they've written other books. They've even written a Star Wars universe book.
Oh yeah,
let's see.
I don't think I've ever read that. That's shocking. And I've read almost all of them, sadly.
There's Leviathan Wakes. Then there's Caliban's War, Abaddon's Gate, and then Chibola Burn. That's what I think. It's Cibola Burn. I don't know how you say it.
I don't know. No
so
idea.
There's 4,000 plus page books, and then there's these like these mini books in between, I guess.
So like ebooks?
Yeah, it looks like they like 3.5 or something. So I guess they go between the novels if you want to read them or something.
All right.
Sounds interesting.
But, I've been really impressed with what Sci-Fi is trying to do right now with their lineups. I mean, they did that. What was it called? Ascension. That was Ronald D. Moore, right? The
Ascension. No, Ronald D. Moore does that show called Helix.
Helix. Okay. All right. Helix. Yeah. That looks. I went on the Sci-Fi site, and it was like this really strange. Like crucifix kind of a thing with it was, I was like, wow, what's that? That looks interesting. So and then there was another one they're working on, a 12 Monkeys. They're doing like a TV version of 12 Monkeys for some reason.
In fact, the 12 Monkeys premieres tonight and I tagged it, and Helix season 2 starts tonight also. But the thing that was different about The Expanse is they wanted to get back to their roots of sci-fi. They want to do a real sci-fi show, and I keep reading where they keep saying they've spent more money on this than anything they've ever done in the history of the channel.
Really?
They've thrown a lot of money at this, and the effects do look pretty solid in the trailer. And
well, yeah, I mean, the effects outside of what looks like a TV, you know, like
a
studio set.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing.
The outside in space shit looks pretty cool, but I love that Jared Harris is in the trailer because I love that guy.
Oh, Jared Harris and Jonathan Banks. I mean, both of those guys, any show they're in, I'll watch.
They need to litter the cast with great British actors and English actors, Irish actors, just
Scottish actors.
Scottish guys, just all these great
Welsh. Bring the Welsh. Let's mix it up. Bring in the Welsh.
Some
now.
Welsh in there. So, some people from all parts of the world in there. How about that?
Yeah, why not? Mix
and,
it up.
Great character actors, and they need to litter. You know, do what Game of Thrones does and finds, you know, some fantastic actors to litter the show with.
Let's get fancy.
Yeah, hell yeah. There's a huge cast in that book.
There is. It's massive. And not, I mean, it would be amazing if they found really excellent actors that they could just kill off in one episode, because that's pretty much the general theme of the book, is that no one sticks around for that long.
Yeah. And that's what, like, what's interesting about, I've read it compared to Game of Thrones, but only in the fact that it's a huge expanded world and a huge storyline that goes on for a long time.
Well, sure, and they each have their own kingdoms.
Right.
I mean, it's very similar to that layout.
And so it's two guys riding it, so if one of them dies, they can still keep it going. So,
much like D.B. Weiss and the other guy. That's,
yeah. Whenever I read anything about George R. R. Martin, people in comments are always like, you better keep writing and finish this. It's just like, come on.
Man, if that guy dies, there's going to be a lot of upset people.
It's like, somebody else will finish it. Come on.
He better stay alive. He better stop eating. He's looking a little big.
There was that
his cholesterol's too high.
There was that Wheel of Time series that by Robert Jordan. Okay, it's this whole. Let's see, was the Wheel of Time is one of the greatest epics of fantasy, taking place in both our past and future. The saga tells the story of a man destined to face the evil one and save the world or destroy it in the process. The Wheel of Time turns and ages come and pass. What was, what will be, and what is may yet fall under the shadow. Okay, Robert Jordan wrote all these books in the Wheel of Time series, and yet he knew he was dying.
What a bastard.
Well, no, he knew he was dying, and he needed to find someone to help him finish the series, and he found Brandon Sanderson, you know, the guy who wrote Steelheart.
Oh, who, yeah, I like that guy.
He has written a lot of... His main thing, Steelheart was kind of off into a different direction for him. He writes fantasy novels, and he finished the Wheel of Time series after Robert Jordan passed away.
Oh, that's sort of marvelous. So he, like, left notes for him and trusted him. And
yes, he gave him the entire world and his diary and everything. And I've never read any of the books, but just reading about it, it's kind of just a cool story. And it's like, wow, maybe I should read that. It's been hard for me to get into fantasy-type stuff, though.
Yeah, I'm not a fantasy guy. Even as a kid, whenever I read The Hobbit and made about a quarter of the way through The Lord of the Rings, I can't buy into that shit. I'm hardcore sci-fi kind of.
There's a lot of people into fantasy, and you know
I'm such a dork.
They have magic systems, Bill. How the magic world works and stuff, and it's hard for me to get into that. But I'm more into. I'm a sci-fi dude. You know, I'm sorry.
Nothing is as good as a blaster at your side.
Yeah, I mean, I like the idea of a ranger like Aragorn or something, but. It's hard for me to get into it, but I like the idea of it. I mean, hell, I would love to have a series that goes on. In fact, The Expanse is like that. It's a sci-fi series that goes on and on and on.
It just goes on and on and
on. Well, I'm curious, because right now, where I am in the book, I have no idea where the storyline is going, but I'm definitely interested.
Do you remember where you are in the book? Like, what's going on? Let me know. I want to know where you are.
Yeah, I told you on Facebook.
Oh, yeah, you did. You told me on Facebook. Never mind.
Yeah. But, what I was saying, anyway, my thought was get Brandon Sanderson to finish Game of Thrones. But I honestly don't think anything's going to happen to George R. R. Martin. Holy shit, I just doomed the man. Let me knock on wood, Bill. Oh, my God.
Oh, I think he doomed himself a long time ago.
I don't have powers, so I know I didn't do anything. You know, people are like, oh, my God, I just jinxed. I don't have powers, anybody, okay? I'm not like Toby.
Yeah, watch. Tonight it's going to come out. George R. R. Martin passes away from a massive coronary, and everybody's going to blame you.
He's fine.
Oh, I'm sure he's already dead.
No!
Look what you've done. Look what you've done.
But anyway, I'm excited about The Expanse, Bill.
Very excited. I can't wait to get into a fun, hard sci-fi show. And we know that it's part mystery also. So
yeah, and that's the thing. It is hard sci-fi. It's not like just light stuff. And I hope what's funny is EW, when they first posted it, it says, sci-fi launches buzzed about space opera featuring zero gravity sex. And it's like, what? That's where you go in the trailer? And then I realized, yeah, they do show people floating, having sex.
Hell yes.
I was more into the space scenes where I guess I didn't notice it the first time.
Yeah, I know. I had to go back and watch it again also. And I was like, oh, is that what that is?
It's
there's not a whole lot of moving going on for zero gravity sex.
Well, you don't have anything to push up against.
You don't have anything to hold on to. You would think that you would try to have sex in zero gravity and you would end up on the opposite sides of the room in a corner.
It seems kind of silly.
Hey, this corner feels really good. I'm just going to, hi, I'm over here. Nice to see you. We're having sex in zero gravity.
I think it could work, but it's just silly, you know. But I think it's funny that Entertainment Weekly, they go with the Zero Gravity 6 to get you to click on it, I guess. Like, hey, check this out. Zero Gravity 6. Check it out.
On sci-fi.
Only on sci-fi. Woohoo! Yeah. But I guess that's how you get people to click on things. Like,
absolutely.
Basically, the entire internet is clickbait, essentially. They want us to click on everything, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, that's from headlines to the goddamn BuzzFeed stories that you can't help but click on Facebook. That's what it's all about.
I hate those. My dad posts so many BuzzFeed things every day.
Well, your dad's the perfect market for that shit. The 65 and older kind of crap. My dad does that every day. It drives me crazy.
Well, also, I hate the... You'll never believe what happened next. Oh, and you're like, oh, well, I got to click this and see what happens next. You know,
all
I'm
of
like,
a sudden,
no,
it's all we're watching Inside Edition.
Yeah, I will not click on this. I refuse. That's the way I feel about that.
Absolutely. I think everyone has to take a stand on something, and that's a good stand to take. I refuse to click on your bullshit.
Now, Bill, what... I know you've been really busy. Has it been crazy not paying attention to the new DVD releases? Or
you know, it really has. I kind of feel a little empty inside. I'll go through and I'll look and be like, oh, that came out. Ooh, I always get excited whenever I see the Criterion, what their future slate is, and they did that today. And then I went back and looked at Blu-ray.com to see what I've been missing out on. But lately, I you know, it's like. Whenever you're trying to save money, you don't think about it, but you still like to see what's hitting, like what's out there and what's good and what the special editions are.
Is there any that like that you can think of offhand that you really are excited about?
Well, you know what? I saw that they were doing the Friends of Eddie Coyle for the Criterion Collection. That looks really cool, and of course the. Anything Criterion Collection, I'm a sucker for. But let me look and see what's coming up here, the new Blu-ray releases, so that we can talk about them.
You know, while you're looking that up, last week I was talking to Bill and Adam about, you know, Harry Knowles hadn't been doing his DVD column for months. The last one he did was sometime in October, and finally he did one the first week in January. And he said the reason that he hadn't been doing it was writer's block.
Oh, what an asshole. Harry Knowles had a writer's block?
I thought it was hilarious because he's covering DVDs. What the hell is he blocked about? Just write about the freaking DVD that came out.
He could basically copy and paste Blu-ray.com and put in something about how he saw that movie in 16mm with his Father Geek's dirty fingernails and... how he had the perfect toy that went along with it that no other kid had, and everyone was jealous. And that's basically every Harry Knowles post there is.
Right. Well, a couple of films that came out, Bill. Did you ever see Gone Girl?
Yeah, I did. The David Fincher story movie thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With Ben Affleck, Rosamund Pike.
Yeah, wasn't a big fan of it. I read the book and wasn't really a big fan of the book either, so I kind of went into it kind of like... Okay, so what are they going to do with this shit now?
Right. And, dude, what is... I'm going to watch it when it comes on cable or whatever. Hopefully it comes on HBO or something. But I guess... I mean, I know what it's about, and I'm curious about it, I guess, enough to watch it. But I didn't want to see it in the theater. I didn't care enough to see it in the theater. But one film that I was really curious about that I didn't get to see was A Walk Among the Tombstones with Liam Neeson. And it's directed by Scott Frank. And, you know, he did The Lookout.
Oh, I was totally unaware of that. I didn't know Scott Frank did that.
Yeah.
The Walk Among the Tombstones, that is.
Yes. And so I'm really curious about this, and I want to see it. And it's on Blu-ray now.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check that out. I'll have to rent it off of Amazon. Yeah, that's a big one for me because I love The Lookout. I thought
that
was fantastic.
Is that a new thing you're doing where you'll buy a movie on Amazon and watch it like on Xbox One or something?
Yeah, that's more what I'm doing anymore because it's just whenever you're trying to save money for various things in your life, it's just – I used to throw away so much money on DVDs and Blu-rays and it's just you kind of look at what they're worth now. And how many times have you actually watched them?
Right. That's Steven and I were talking about this, how I really only want Blu-rays of movies I know I love and that I'm going to watch multiple times. And a lot of that are Marvel movies like Guardians of the Galaxy that I know I'm going to watch like six times. But I'm not going to just buy, like, I wouldn't buy A Walk Among the Tombstones just because I want to see it. It's easier to rent it and then watch it and find out if I love it or something. I don't want to buy a movie and go, oh, that's pretty good. Stick it on a shelf and it's part of my collection. I can understand that. People collect movies. But it's just a waste of space and time. Like, I'm never going to do anything with it.
It's a waste of space, time, and money. And it's money that could be going to other things that are better in your life. And it just, I'm sitting between two walls of DVDs right now. And it's kind of overwhelming and it's humiliating and humbling that at some point in time I needed to have everything that came out because it somehow filled a void, or I thought that maybe I was more of a film fan if I owned more films. It's very confusing and it's overwhelming. Uh-huh. And it's even tonight, Natalie and I were standing there looking at them, and she was like, "So what do we do with these?" And I was like, "I have no idea. I guess I took two shelves just as an experiment, like, you know, maybe like a 12-inch wide shelf of DVDs to the pawn shop that I had already repurchased on Blu-ray." Mm-hmm. And just as I thought, maybe I'd get a buck, maybe $2 a piece for them, 50 cents.
Wow.
That's what you get. You invest $20 in something, you watch it once, and then when the time comes that you're swamped in too many things, you take it and you're given, you know, 1/20th of what you paid for it.
Right. You can't think about that. I paid $20 for this.
Yeah. And that's what it is. I mean, I think there's a lot of credit due to the viewpoint of keeping everything in the cloud.
Right.
Of, you know, I've always been a fan of physical media for films that I love because that's the best possible presentation. Like, even there's films that I watch over and over again that I want to own because it's the clearest picture, it's the best sound.
Right. Like, even as recently as last year, I think we felt that way. Like, man, I want to own it on Blu-ray. But I think just regular releases that you just want to see, you want to see the film and experience it, you don't need to own it. And you can own it on Amazon. You could buy the film and own it, but it's in the cloud, you know?
Yeah, that's what I did with the Joe Carnahan film, Stretch. Whenever Universal decided to not release that film theatrically, which just kind of boggles my mind because it was such a fun R-rated comedy that in the vein of like Scorsese's After Hours. Uh-huh. You know, just this kind of crazy adventure through this kind of fantastical version of L.A. And
that's on Netflix now, by the way.
Oh, it is. Yeah. Well, great. I paid $15 for it, and it's free on Netflix. So, yeah, thanks for that, Dick. No.
I didn't do it.
No, I'm joking. You know what I mean. But, yeah, it's some movies I really enjoyed it, but you just don't want that. You don't want things take – space is at a premium now, and money and time is at a premium. Mm-hmm. So while I love covering what's coming out on Blu-ray, I'm really not buying that many anymore. I haven't done it in probably 6 months now. The last Blu-ray I bought was Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. You save a lot of money that way. And just like, I've looked many times, and you know, I have friends on Facebook or whatever, they'll post like their collections or whatever. And I can understand the collector mentality because I used to do it, but also I kind of in a place where like I was even talking about last week on the show or maybe the week before, I don't remember, but how just see the way the DVD condition, like I didn't want to loan them out. I wanted to protect them and keep them in great, and how I just don't give a shit about them anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'll never forget it. I, you know, whenever in the early days of DVDs, I was so possessive because they cost so much. You know, it was $20, $30 a DVD. And I remember a friend would come over and go, "Oh man, I haven't seen that movie. I'll trade you this one for this one if, you know." And I was like, "Well, not a full-time trade, just like, you know, like you rent something from me, I rent something from you."
Right.
I that took me a good week to agree to, because I didn't want a single scratch on it. I would go through them. I would, you know, breathe on them and then rub a microfiber cloth across them just to make sure there was nothing. You know, it was obsessive and ridiculous.
And now, couldn't you grab a stack of DVDs and just start jumping on them and not give a shit?
I have already started. Like, it's just, I'm doing it right now.
Crash, smash, smash. Just, yeah. Who gives a shit?
I'm only getting 50 cents for this, son of a bitch, when I take it to a pawn shop. So I think this year I'm hoping, you know, I live in an area where during the summer there's this weekend that they call National Pike Days, Route 40. It's the oldest road on this side of the country. And there's yard sales. So I was thinking this year I was going to set some aside and, like, set up a table down there at the end of our street and see if people stop and pay, you know, $3 or $4 or $5 a piece for them, because I think it's about the only way I'm going to get that much money back for them. You know, I've tried the programs like Declutter. There's an app where you can scan them and it'll give you what they're worth, and the 99.9% of the time it's 50 cents.
Right.
You know, and it's just, it's painful.
Well, you know, the similar thing with video games is before Christmas, I was like, you know what, Bill, I need to sell all my Xbox games that I'm never going to play again, the 360 ones, and get games for Emma on 3DS or games she would like on the 360, because none of them are really Emma compatible, you know, because I played like Gears of War and shit like that, you know.
Yeah, I went through that. I was going to gift a lot of them to Natalie's nephew, and I was going through them and I was like, well, shit, you know, it's all Gears of War games, it's all Halo games, it's Grand Theft Auto games, it's all stuff that's adult oriented. There wasn't a whole lot of kids' games for the 360.
Right. And basically what you find out is it's the same thing with DVDs, is that those games, even something as recent as Grand Theft Auto 5 on the Xbox 360, which was $60, I believe, when it came out, you get maybe $7 for it.
Yeah.
And you just... They need, I mean, PlayStation is doing it now, kind of this service where you stream it, but they need, I mean, I know they have, like, the Netflix for video games, right?
Because they do.
It doesn't make sense to buy video games either, does it?
No, it really doesn't, especially if it's something that you're not really invested in the multiplayer. You just want to play through the story. And I would rent, if there was an option where you could just rent the game to play through the single player story, I would seriously consider it.
And I wouldn't want to have to go to a store. I'd want it to be like, let me rent this game for a month, download it, and then it deletes after a month or something.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
That would be cool. And you know,
I don't want to have any obligations. I don't want to have to return something. I don't want to have to go somewhere and rent something.
I don't want it to be where, like, you have to delete it yourself or you're charged. I want it to delete on its own.
Yeah.
Because I'll forget about that shit. But also, you know, with video games, how many times in the past, Bill, have you, like, bought, like, three games at once and you realize, like, when the hell am I going to play all three of these? It would kind of, like, you would space it out. Like, if I'm going to rent this for a month, I want to play it right now, you know?
Yeah. When I was getting my games together to turn in also for Christmas, just to create some space and get some money back, I was going through them all and I was like, wow, this one's still shrink wrapped. You know, it's just, the Gears of War Judgment. Like, the one that was based on, it wasn't the main characters, it was the side characters.
Right.
And there was a number of them that I had that I hadn't even played, that I was like, well, I'm not going to trade it in if I haven't played it. So I'll hold on to it until I play it, I guess. But yeah, I've got a bunch of those. It's kind of ridiculous.
I'm almost thinking the cloud-based is better now.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know. I'm doing the same thing. With my desktop, I have that NVIDIA Grid, or also with my tablet, I have that NVIDIA Shield tablet,
uh-huh.
And I got the controller that comes with it, and I can actually use their Grid service, which streams PC games directly to it.
Right, right. Like Steam-type games?
Yeah, I can access Steam games that are on my central desktop, or I can access games that they have available on their service.
And there's like a Bluetooth controller with that too, or something, right?
Yeah, there is. It's a really good controller. It's very similar. It's like a cross between a PlayStation and Xbox controller.
That's awesome. You know,
it's comfortable. It works. It's I think the worst thing about it is that there's just not that many. You know, when you buy a tablet, you have like Samsung, you have Apple, iPad, you have all those available, but they have, you know, the makers for them create the tablet cases, covers, whatnot for them. But with the NVIDIA Shield, there's nothing out there, you know, so it's very hard to find something that fits it because it is an odd-shaped tablet.
Right.
I think it's 9 inches, and there's either 8 or 10, it seems, in tablets. Mm-hmm. And it's very hard to find a decent case for it to set it upright to then play on it. So it's kind of awkward to actually play anything on. I tried one night when I was just goofing off playing Max Payne 3 over the Grid streamed from my computer, and there's a little delay, but I think that's to be expected with a wireless connection for it. But it's not horribly noticeable. It's like if you were playing a video game on a TV with slight input lag.
Right, right.
So it's really not that bad.
Yeah, it's funny how, like, the one, I would say the one media that you're not going to do that cloud-based thing, because you can't, is because I know you love LPs, and you can't do like a cloud-based LP system type of thing.
Yeah,
you
know? I wish. No. I think that's the one thing I've continued to hold on to through, you know, all my phases, all my stages of life, whether it be video games or movies, or it just, for some reason, I think I have that umbilical to nostalgia,
right?
With when it comes to vinyl records, because that was the first way I experienced music as a child, was holding a 45 or holding a full size LP, and to this day, I mean, I get giddy whenever I hear that someone is deciding to go back to like their master tapes and releasing an album that has never been on vinyl or something like that,
yeah.
Yeah, I can go to I've been avoiding my favorite record stores lately because I am trying to save money.
Yeah.
So I haven't been back to my favorite record store in probably like 8 months, so they're all probably wondering if I died or...
Picture this. I was just thinking about this, like thinking of like how you can rent a movie or whatever and it goes directly to your machine. But what if you had like a laser printer type of machine? You could buy an LP online and then it prints on your laser printer and you have a record there.
Oh, yeah, like a 3D printer.
Yeah, and then you like stick it on your turntable and it plays perfectly. Wouldn't that be awesome?
That would be pretty incredible. I would be willing to give that a shot if it ever comes to fruition.
Yeah, just like buying like on Amazon or something, but it's like your LP is now prepared to print, and you're
it's very Star Trek. Earl Grey, hot.
Dude,
it's like the commissary on Star Trek.
You know, those 3D printers get cheaper and cheaper. I wonder if it's going to happen. I bet
it's true.
Jack White will probably try that first before anybody.
Yeah, Jack White definitely will. Third Man Records will come up with something that no one will be able to actually play.
3D printer LP.
Yeah, printer LP. Well, didn't they have one of those LP booths that Neil Young actually recorded one of his last albums in? It sounds horrible, but he recorded it all in the booth.
Yeah, totally. He did it live on television, I believe.
Oh yeah, he was on.
He was on Jimmy Fallon, and I was pissed he didn't do it on Conan because you know him and Conan are buddies, and I was like,
yeah, that's right.
But I guess he was in New York at the time. Now, Bill, I have some news here, a news item I want to read to you.
All right.
And you're going to go, about friggin' time, when I read this to you.
Okay.
Ready Player One sequel in the works, says movie screenwriter. If you like video games and you like a pacey novel, there's a fair chance you've come across Ernest Cline's Ready Player One. The 2011 novel is the story... We already know this shit. Story of a skilled gamer living in a troubled future that is obsessed with 80s pop culture. He's on a virtual...
Wade Watts? Was that his name?
Uh-huh. And he's Parsifal in the game. He's on a virtual treasure quest that is based on an ancient Atari 2600 game. Ready Player One is currently being made into a Warner Brothers movie scripted by Zach Penn. According to a recent Den of Geek interview with Penn, Cline is working on a sequel. Ernie's working on a sequel to it, and it is one of those great ideas that has endless possibilities. And to a certain extent, the longer it exists and the more Ernie thinks about it, the more he comes up with. Meanwhile, Cline's unrelated second novel, Armada, is due to be published later this year by Crown Publishing. Dude, friggin' just release it already.
Yeah. You know what's funny is I'll be eternally jealous that you got to meet him and get your copy of Ready Player One signed. Like, it just, when we first started reading that, we knew it was going to be something good because Harry Knowles told us it was going to be something good. It's such a special book for all of us born in the mid to late 70s that grew up with that culture, that war games, Cloak and Dagger, Ferris Bueller's Day Off kind of culture. And it was just so wonderful to experience that and read it and then to have Will Wheaton shit all over it in the audiobook. But, yeah, I can't wait to hear how he reads that, the sequel. But, yeah, no, I'm excited for it. I don't know where the hell they're going to go with it because it seemed pretty pretty final.
Holy shit.
Yeah, well, I could see there's, like, I don't want to say the ending of the book, but I know they could go somewhere. But, I'm curious to see what his other book is, Armada. And the print industry, I've been reading a lot of a couple of authors who write about the state of self-publishing and publishing directly to Amazon and stuff like that. Or like Hugh Howey, the author of Wool, talks about it a lot, how readers have a voracious appetite, especially if they're a fan of yours. They're ready to read your next book as soon as they finish your last book. It's so silly how the print industry will make you wait a year or 2 years or three for their next novel. Like,
yeah,
they don't want to glut the market with the artists that you love and their work. Like, it'll be too much. Just friggin' release the thing already, you know?
Yeah, I'll never understand the way the publishing works, why they would hold on to it
they
like that.
They make you wait forever. I mean, hell, like, if you go far as back to Stephen King talking about Richard Bachman, the reason he created Richard Bachman is they said, you're going to glut the market. You're wanting to publish too many books at the same time. But I honestly, if they released, like, five Stephen King books in 1 year, dude, every fan of his books would buy them. I don't think they'd be like, there's too many of them. I can't read all these. It's ridiculous.
I know that anytime I hear that a new Stephen King book is coming out, I always contemplate doing the preload on the Kindle.
Another media that books buy them or buy them in the cloud.
it's just more convenient to buy them in the cloud. While I like the whole idea of holding a tactile book, about the only thing I buy book-wise in a physical manner now are my textbooks, because it's easier to study my textbook and take notes than it is to study my textbook on my tablet.
Right.
You know, it just, and plus I just don't, there's something about the way you read that sort of text on a tablet as opposed to a book on a Kindle, because the whole paperwhite screen of those Kindles, the e-ink is really, I find it as good as print.
I read on my phone a lot, like I buy books, but I kind of want to get a Kindle now. I kind of am into that idea, and not even like the fancy tablet Kindles, but the one that's just for reading books.
Yeah, the Paperwhite. That's what I have. I think I have the last version of it before the one that just came out, the fancier one. But I have the regular, the Paperwhite that doesn't have any of the buttons on it. But that's what I use. It's really nice to be able to load stuff on there and have it instantly, and it saves your place, and it
Isn't
does everything
that
you...
$79 one, too? Is that the one?
Yeah, I think that's the one. It's just, is it still called the Paperwhite?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't do anything special except books. It has a really shitty web browser on it. But,
oh, it actually has a web browser?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
I know they have the Fire HD 6. It's like $99. That's still super cheap for
It's a budget Android tablet that runs Amazon's proprietary operating system.
But I just want one for just reading books.
I can't recommend an e-ink display e-reader enough. I think they're invaluable, and they're tiny. You know, they're small, but they're easier to read than a phone. Like you'll say, well, I'm reading this on my phone. And I'll go, on your phone. And then I think, oh yeah, he has a phablet. I have an iPhone.
Yeah. I buy books on Google Play, but also I figured out that recently, like, oh wait, there's a Kindle app for Android. And I downloaded that.
Sure.
And I can buy books on Amazon and read them on my phone too.
Yeah. It's nice.
But also Emma has a 7-inch tablet. If I wanted to, I could use that to read on with the same account, you know, but you know, I don't want to mess with her tablet. So I was like, I need my own thing.
Yeah. I think it's well worth it.
Sounds cool. I like the idea of buying books now. And plus right when you buy it, you have it. You don't have to go to a store and buy it. Like, I'm going to run out to the bookstore. Unfortunately, when you think about it, it's also sad because the bookstore, brick and mortar, is dying at the same time. I think what keeps, like, half-price books is that people sell their old books, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's kind of that the vicious cycle. And in this day and age, I think a lot of people in their 30s are trying to... 30s and 40s are trying to just get rid of all the stuff they've collected. I know that's where I am right now, but the only thing that I'm not really getting rid of are my vinyl records. And, you know, it's even my CDs. If you rip them in a lossless format and save them on the cloud, you have them forever.
Right.
You know, you don't need to haul them around with you.
That's true.
Yeah. And now books, everything. It's so funny how years ago we were so anti-cloud storage, and now it's really...
It just makes sense.
Yeah, it just makes more sense.
I want to live in a white room with a bed that comes out of the wall when you hit a button, you know? It's like blank, no decorations or anything. No, I'm kidding, but I hate the idea of bookstores closing, just like I hated the idea of video stores closing, but at the same time, it's like, maybe... Yeah, I mean... People do physically buy books still. I know that.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. And plus, if you really want somebody to notice what you're reading, you take the book with you. Because that's really what it comes down to now, is if you're reading on a tablet, you can't have a conversation with someone.
Yeah, no one knows what the hell. They need to have like the two screens. One on the other side shows the cover of the book you're reading. Like when you're reading on the Kindle. It's like, oh, I see you're reading on your other screen. something something. I could.
Yeah, that looks like an excellent book. What is it? You can't. There's no. It's not a conversation starter at that point.
I see you're reading 61 Ways to Become a Better Lover. So it's like, yeah, I'm really learning a lot.
That's excellent. Now I know how to talk to ladies.
Yeah. Oh, how to seduce women. All right. I'm going to learn all sorts of stuff. I don't know what just happened. But anyway.
It's off wheels, off rails.
If only we could download food, virtual food. Wouldn't that be? I want the.
That would be the worst thing to ever happen in all of human existence. It's bad enough that we are all, a instant gratification society at this point.
We never have to leave our homes.
Oh, God, I can't even imagine what would happen to us all. We'd all turn into the people in WALL-E is what would happen.
There needed to be
we would all have hover chairs.
An episode of Star Trek where somebody was abusing the food thing. Earl Grey tea, hot. I'll have a bacon cheeseburger. Ba-ding! And it appears like, yeah.
You're extra using fries.
Yeah, yeah. I know. Yeah, that would definitely happen. People abuse everything, so... You'd have to try to be careful about that.
Yeah, that wouldn't happen. There's no carefulness in our society. We're all reckless and dangerous.
Damn it, we are. You know, one thing, another piece of news. Remember me talking about how they were going to have the Supergirl series next year on Sci-Fi?
Yeah, what happened to that?
Well, it's still going to happen, but now the president of CBS wants it to be on CBS.
Now
I'm afraid the show's just gonna
suck.
I think it's gonna fail now because shows like that they get good numbers on CW, but there's no way they can keep up with CBS numbers, which, you know, like 50 million people watching NCIS or something.
CBS is honestly turning into the station it was 30 years ago. Like with the old people TV shows.
Right.
I mean, NCIS, the various versions of it, is basically the new Matlock. Because you have to be over 60 to actually enjoy NCIS in any form.
And it's all, you know, it's all procedural and stuff. And why do they want Supergirl on the channel? I don't understand.
I don't get it. I really don't.
It should be on the CW and be really geeky and have crossovers with The Flash and Green Arrow.
Which I really need to watch. I have no idea why I have not watched The Flash or Green Arrow yet. And I think maybe I'm still healing. I'm healing from the Smallville Heroes experience.
I think that it's just that this is why I like The Flash. It's just a lot of fun. It's a fun show. And I always dug The Flash, and I have some Flash comics, but I wasn't, like, deep into it, like, know his villains and stuff. But I just, the idea of it, I liked. And the shows, it's funny because Arrow is more like dark storytelling, you know. It's more, it's darker crime and a lot more violence. Kind of like more Christopher Nolan-ish with... but comic booky at the same time. And Flash is more comic booky and fun. And that's why I like it. I do like The Flash better than Arrow. I still will watch Arrow at times, but I'm more into The Flash. Like, I won't miss an issue, an episode of The Flash, because it's just damn fun. And I laugh a lot in it. And it's silly. And the guy, Barry Allen, can be clumsy and screw up and stuff. And
The Flash has Tom Cavanaugh. It's got Ed, right?
Yep, Ed's on the show, and he's great.
That's because... one of those shows that I need to share with Natalie. It's funny. During the holiday, whenever she was here, I don't know what we were watching, and then I was like, well, let's watch Veronica Mars. And she was like, oh, I've never seen Veronica Mars. And I was like, yeah, well, it's like one of the greatest shows ever, so let's watch Veronica Mars. So Amazon, I remember you telling me that Amazon had it in HD.
Yeah.
So I put on, like, the first episode of Veronica Mars, and she was like, oh, okay, all right. And then we, before you know it, we've already finished the first season and we're on to the second season.
Isn't it funny, by the way? I'm sorry to interrupt you, but that Paris Hilton is in like the first.
I was just going to say that like, and there was an episode that we were watching and it was like, holy shit, that's Jessica Chastain.
Yeah.
Or, it's like it was the breeding ground of future stars. Every time one of them pops up, we're like, hey, that's the person from True Blood. Like the Steve, the preacher was in an episode of Veronica Mars. And I was like, that's the preacher guy from True Blood.
Right.
And it's sort of amazing.
And the show holds up because Heather and I did a series rewatch not too long ago. And the one thing, it's funny because things that drive you nuts when you're watching a show episodically, week to week, and long breaks in between, things that annoy you because there's such a long break, like Veronica and Logan breaking up and getting back together. So it doesn't annoy you as much when you're watching one episode after another.
It speeds it up. And it's so funny. I never realized how many guys Veronica was with. Mm-hmm. Like, it, like, goes around. I think at one point she was with Sean Ashmore, and then into the second season, he's, like, completely out of the picture, because I think the last episode we watched was the one where she goes for the tour at Hearst and exposes the wall. And the fraternity and the...
Yeah, there's like a date rapist going around.
And the thing about that episode that Natalie pointed out to me was you've got Michael Cera, and then the girl that was raped and her hair was shaved was his cousin that he's in love with on Arrested Development.
Yeah, I remember when they first did that. It was pretty funny.
Like, I didn't even realize that because I hadn't watched Arrested Development yet. So, yeah, there's all kinds of cool little things. And Rob Thomas now has a new show called iZombie.
Yeah. It's this girl who's a zombie who can – it's a lot like what was that other zombie movie that just came out? The romantic one?
Warm Bodies.
Yeah, it's like Warm Bodies, where the premise is if you eat a brain, you gain all their memories. So she's in the morgue and she finds cadavers to eat their brains, but she can also solve their murders, basically.
That's kind of strange and awesome and ridiculous at the same time.
It's Rob Thomas and Diana Ruggiero who did Veronica Mars, and people are like excited about that because it's going to have that kind of sense of humor and sarcastic and just smart.
I'll be excited to see that that rat animation at the end of every episode again.
Yeah. What is it called?
I can't remember.
King Rat or no, it's... I forget what it's called. Oh, damn it. But I'm excited about iZombie. I hope it's good.
Yeah, me too.
But we've been talking a pretty long time.
An hour and a half.
If you want to wrap it up, we can. If you have...
Sure, absolutely.
Can you think of anything else to...
No, we covered the Oscars. We covered how they're whitewashed and pretty much irrelevant at this point. But that's every year. Every year these nominations come out and somebody is upset. And it's just... There's a lot of shockingly clueless nominations going on with the Oscars.
I remember Heather said, you know, I was kind of talking about it because it was on the news and we were both getting ready in the morning. And I said, you know, those people just vote on whatever looks good. They haven't even seen those. She goes, they wouldn't vote on a movie that they haven't seen. And I go, oh, trust me, it happens every year that people don't even see half the movies. They're Academy members, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely.
They don't use their vote, even if they didn't see the
movie. When those screeners come out, do you think they're sitting there watching every one of them? That's not happening.
Right. Yeah.
That's just not happening.
Oh, I heard so-and-so was getting that. Like, the guy David Oyelowo, who plays Martin Luther King in Selma, he might be very deserving of that film, but it came out very recently, and I bet half the people, when they were voting, just hadn't seen the movie.
Yeah, and a lot of times whenever the movies are that recent, there are no screeners. They have to either schedule a screening through that software that a lot of studios are using now, that's a massive pain in the ass for people that don't know technology, or you have to go to a screening for it. And I highly doubt a lot of them are going out of their way to do that, because once you're in the Academy, there's really – you're in it for life. There's really no incentive to actually go see those films.
Right.
So you just kind of – it's kind of like whenever you go to the polls completely uninformed, you just vote entirely one way or the other. You know, you vote, you go, oh, hey, that person, I like that person's name, or hey, that person's a Democrat, I'll vote that. You know, you vote without knowing the issues. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, it's no different for the Academy.
Yeah. Just, but I think every year when the Academy thing comes out, people will be disappointed no matter what.
Yeah. I actually brought up what's coming out this week on Blu-rays in case you wanted to know, because there was a couple that kind of piqued my interest. I know The Box Trolls is hitting Blu-ray this week.
Oh, nice.
And I would love to, I can't wait to see the 3D version of that, because, I mean, the 3D, the way they use the native 3D with the stop motion animations, one of the most gorgeous things I've ever seen in 3D.
Yeah, definitely. Paranorman was gorgeous.
Yeah, I watched Paranorman the other night with Natalie, and I hadn't seen it in so long, and I always get teary-eyed during that final scene whenever he's talking to Aggie at the tree, and whenever he's trying to tell her the story, and then you realize we've all been through that. I think that was when I first saw that movie. I was so affected by it because we've all been bullied, and we've all bullied back. And that was one of those movies that just kind of perfectly condensed that feeling, that confusion, that anger, and the reaction that everyone has to such crazy situations. And I was like, I didn't cry this time. Like, I was so happy that I was able to watch it and not cry. Mm-hmm. And it just, I've never seen all of Coraline, the first movie that they did. So I'm going to have to finish watching that. Breaking Away, the cycling movie.
Great, fantastic movie.
Yeah, Twilight Time is releasing it on Blu-ray.
I love that movie.
Yeah, it's a fantastic movie. We've talked about that so many times on the show. But I wanted to bring that up. And the one, I think it was, one of James Gandolfini's last films. The next one, The Drop, with Tom Hardy, which really good word of mouth also.
I saw a trailer of that. It looked really good.
Yeah, I wanted to see that. And it's so funny that I'm so angry about this that I just found out about it. Fright Night is being released on Blu-ray by that Twilight Time. And it's already sold out. It was limited to 5,000, and it sold out before it even went up for pre-order.
Why only 5,000?
Because that's Twilight Time. That's all they ever do. They limit these things to 5,000, and then it sells out. If it's a big title, it sells out really quickly. But it looks amazing. Like they went back and did a completely remastered the sound, got all kinds of cool special features on it. And I was so upset whenever I saw that it was already sold out.
Very cool.
Yeah,
I mean, it's basically that goes in the other thing where you don't want to collect a lot of Blu-rays anymore, but you release those nostalgic releases that you've always wanted.
Exactly. Those are the ones I'm going to buy. Like, I'm going to buy something that I have a connection to. I'm not just going to, because something comes out like White Bird and a Blizzard starring starring Shailene Woodley and Ava Green, and because they're naked in it, 10 years ago I would have bought it, but now I don't need to.
They're both naked in it?
Yes.
What's that about?
I don't know. It's about them being naked, apparently. It
sounds fascinating.
Yeah. Don't ask me why I know they're naked in it. It's interesting the way that happens. And the Zero Theorem is hitting Blu-ray finally. The Terry Gilliam film that he did with Christoph Waltz.
Right. What is that about?
I have no idea. It says, let me read what this says. A computer hacker's goal to discover the reason for human existence continually finds his work interrupted thanks to the management. This time they sent a teenager and a lusty love interest to distract him. So it seems very Brazilish. But I've been looking forward to seeing it. I kept meaning to watch it because, you know, they released it on demand first. And now it's only just hitting Blu-ray. So I'm going to have to seek it out and rent it just to give it a good go. Because I love Christoph Waltz and I've always loved Terry Gilliam's film. So
yeah,
I'll give it a watch. But that's what I saw that comes out this next Tuesday that caught my eye.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Bill, so much for doing the show with me. It's good to catch up with you and talk about stuff.
Yeah, I can't wait to start get back into the regular swing of things now that things have settled down.
Oh, yeah, it'll be fun to talk about all of our favorite shows again, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Good times and great wine, man.
Great wine.
Woo-hoo! So anybody, if you want to send us some voicemail or feedback, that would be awesome. Send it to nimpodcast@gmail.com. It'd be totally awesome. Or you can send us a voicemail at 1206-309-4729. Also, you could leave some feedback on our Facebook fan club, Entertainment Landfill Fan Club. We would love that.
It's always hopping.
Because, Bill, I want some feedback, damn it. It'd be fun to know people are still out there. And also, I'd like to thank all of our patrons for being patrons of the show and supporting us. And I hope you dig these ETL dailies. And like we said, we'll be back to doing regular shows also. We want to have a variety of things out there, but mostly I wanted to keep putting a product out there, Bill. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Now that we have patrons and people actually supporting us for this, for the work and enjoying the shows, it's great to always have something out there for them.
It's important.
It's very important
to keep doing that. And I've had to officially stop playing video games. No more Destiny for me because I'm concentrating on writing some more and getting back into writing every day.
Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait to read what you come up with. I'm very excited about that.
I can't have distractions anymore. But The Wire has been quite a distraction.
Yeah, I really need to dive back into that now that they did the HD remaster on it.
I'm about to finish season 4.
Oh, my God. Last time I talked to you, you were just in the middle of season 2.
The last episode I watched, I burst into tears watching. It, like, emotionally took its toll on me.
Wow.
And I was like, man, that episode kicked my ass. The show is so goddamn good, and you care so much about all these people. It's just, oh, my God. Sometimes it can be overwhelming.
That's amazing.
Because it's the real world, it feels like, and horrible shit happens in the real world.
Yeah, horrible shit happens in Baltimore in general.
Yeah.
Did you ever see that special that Charlie Brooker did all about how marvelous The Wire is?
No.
Yeah, he actually went to Baltimore and he interviewed a bunch of the people involved in it, but talked to like Peter Serafinowicz and a bunch of like British people that are just obsessed with the show.
Oh, fantastic. Should I wait till I'm done with the whole series before I watch that, you think?
No, I don't think it really gets into the spoilage. I think it's more of just kind of a testament to how great the show is.
Oh, wow. Because I am dumbfounded at times. And it's funny, my dad has been watching it and he's on season 2. And he'll text me. He knows I'm ahead of him, so he'll text me certain lines, and I remember it, and I'll be laughing because there's a lot of funny shit that happens in the show, too. Like things that just make you laugh your ass off. And I think a lot of time it's because of levity, because things are so tense. When something funny happens, you lose your shit because you need to laugh. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I can't say more about how great it is.
Yeah, it's a 25-minute documentary called Tapping the Wire, and he interviews, it's Charlie Brooker, Nick Hornby, Peter Serafinowicz.
Wow, I'll definitely check that out.
Yeah, it's a great, and he also interviews, you know, the people that are responsible for the show, you know, like David Simon, Idris Elba, Dominic West, all the guys that are actually in the show.
The cast is so fantastic. And I'm starting to idolize David Simon The guy's a freaking genius, and
he's freaking brilliant. He gave a speech a couple years back at there's this event in Australia called the I'm going to get it wrong, but it's something like the Conference for Dangerous Ideas, and he basically breaks down everything that's wrong with America. Basically, you know, the everything that his whole ideas of what we got wrong, what we got right, and how we need to fix it now before it gets any worse.
Yeah.
And I can't recommend that enough. It's a fantastic lecture.
If you just watch The Wire, you know what's wrong with America. Everyone is just worried about themselves and bettering themselves, working their way up the ladder, and looking good to their superior so they don't get their ass chewed out. And it's about making more money. And it's so interesting. And I realize now, because it's kind of backwards on me, because I watched the entire series of Tremé, and it's David Simon's follow-up to The Wire. And so much of what I thought was original about the Tremé, I realized was The Wire blueprint. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And it was a lot of similar subjects on how a city's run and how it's everything is corrupt, and there's good people who are just trying to scrape by, but the system doesn't give a shit about them. And it's really bleak stuff, but also there's a lot, you see how there are a lot of good people and people who are really good at what they do and care, even when it seems like the entire world doesn't give a shit. And that's what makes it so powerful.
Yeah, I can't agree enough. I think David Simon's probably one of the best writers on our society right now.
He also did the miniseries Generation Kill for HBO, which is fantastic also.
Yeah, and I believe he was responsible for the Homicide show.
Yeah, it was based on his book called Homicide: Life on the Streets, where he followed the homicide beat in Baltimore. He wrote for the Baltimore Sun.
Yeah, it was. He has A Year on the Killing Streets and Life on the Street. Yeah,
but god damn, this show is so effing good. Like, I want to just like grab people. It's so good, and people should say, "Yeah, I knew that. I watched it, asshole." Oh, okay, sorry.
Oh yeah, and so now you can be one of the people that goes, "It's so good." Yeah, it's like whenever you tried to get me to watch Friday Night Lights, and I was like, "You're right, it is good."
But it's kind of like, I know there's that kind of thing people have where, and I had it for a while, where like my dad, you gotta watch Breaking Bad, and I was like, you know what, no, I don't want to. You know, you get sick of people telling you how good it is, and you're like, I'm never gonna watch it.
Sure. Yeah. And then, you know what, it just makes it all the better whenever you finally do get around to watching it.
Yeah. And I was just like, damn, I was wrong. I'm such an asshole. I'm a stubborn asshole, and I'm so glad I did. And where my dad was rushing through season two, and I go, slow down, dad, because I'm going to be done and I'm going to be sad and slip into a depression when it's all over.
You need to savor it. Take it slow.
Right. That's what you need to do. Savor it. But I'm so addicted, Bill. Like, I was like, I could watch one more episode. I could totally. No. I'm not going to. But I can. And that's how I am.
I so desperately want to get addicted to it right now.
I want you to too, just so we can talk about it, you know.
I know. I'm gonna watch the first episode. I'm gonna start from the beginning tonight and watch it before I go to bed.
Do you have HBO Go?
Yes.
Because they look fantastic on HBO Go.
Yeah, I have the DVD set, you know, the first set that they released, but I'm gonna do it on HBO Go. I wanna check out what it looks like in HD.
Oh, it looks fantastic. It really does. It looks like it was filmed in HD, and then I realized they filmed it on film, so
yeah,
it is
HD. It's just they framed it differently.
Yeah, they framed it differently, but it's great. And I don't want to drive people crazy talking about The Wire all the time, so I'll go ahead and end it on that. But thanks so much, Bill, and I can't wait. We can talk more about stuff later.
Yeah, I can't wait to get back into what shows and be angry that they moved Hannibal to summer. And, but you didn't watch the second season, right? You have time to catch up on it.
I have 5 episodes from season 2 to go.
Okay, good. Yeah, that's when the shit starts hitting the fan. 5 episodes to go. So yeah.
I asked Heather, is it neat or how does everything go? She goes, I can't describe it. You just got to watch it.
Yeah, it's really indescribable. You can't. It's like one of those moments where you're like, wait, what? Oh, Jesus Christ. Like, you just can't. Like, you can't fathom.
Okay,
you
Bill.
Can't
well,
phantom.
But yeah, I cannot phantom. I got to hear that drop one real quick before we go.
I cannot phantom.
All right, Bill. Thank you so much, and good night, guys. Thanks for thanks for listening to us talk about stuff. Yay! I think the same subjects trail into every single episode.
Yeah, you're probably right.
But all right, Bill. Check you later, man.
Bye.
Dick poop.
Now this is podcasting.